Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor. Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawyer.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, he is the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants. He is the professor. How are you this morning?
Marty, I'm great. Good morning, everybody.
All right, last night, boy, it was a tough game last night. A lot of baseball in it last night. And a lot of things I thought about you last night. One, coaching third, different kind of outfield for you to deal with last night. You had a designated hitter in left field, and, you know, all the things that go through your mind. I know Flan is listening, so he knows what you're talking about. But Chris Davis out there gave you a little bit more leg room for what you had to do.
Well, it always makes it easier when, you know, you don't have an outfielder with a plus arm and a great thrower. Makes your decisions easier. And like any weakness on a ball club, you want to take advantage of it. And fortunately, we had guys on base with speed, and we were able to take advantage of it last night. And I know the A's, they tried the play that we used to do with Dave Roberts when he was in left field and he didn't have a real good arm, and we called it the bonsai play because they did it in Japan. You know, they'd have quick relay throws. They get the ball. Instead of him trying to throw it all the way home, the shortstop goes out a little bit further. You get the ball to the shortstop, and Semien has a great arm, and then he relays the ball to home. But it takes a little longer to do that, but that's the best option you have when you're dealing with a below-average left field arm.
Well, you did it with Span last year. You know, remember Crawford
right.
would. Remember we talked about it on the show that Crawford and Panic would go out and help.
Right, and it's in center field, so instead of Belt going to the mound at first base, you know, Crawford, the majority of the time, depending who else was on base, would go out beyond second base, almost to the outfield grass, or just beyond second base, and he would be the relay man. So instead of being a cutoff man at by the mound where the first baseman is. You get the ball to him as quick as you can. Get rid of it as quick as you can, and he uses his strong to relay the ball home.
Yeah, we don't see too much of that working, though, do we?
Well,
have it recently? I thought maybe.
Well, it's not done a lot. I mean, sometimes it happens. I remember when Manny Ramirez cut the ball in Boston. Remember when the center fielder threw it, and he dove, and he cut that one. They tried it there that one time, and I don't know if the fans have seen that play. Google that or YouTube it because that was pretty comical. I think you get a chuckle out of that. But it's not common. You don't see it a lot, especially in the National League.
McCutchen had a shot at the plate yesterday as well, and the A's, Matt Williams, took advantage. But that was I bring it up because it is a third base coach's job, and a lot was going on in his mind when they sent the runner on McCutchen.
Yeah, one out, and you have the pitcher coming up, and it's tougher for these guys because although Anderson swung the bat good last night, he put the ball in play, got himself a hit, and made good contact. But an American League club, they don't work on their hitting like we do. And it really is tough for them, you know, I mean, because they don't play a lot of interleague games or it's sporadic. You know, they play an interleague game, they go 3 weeks, there's two interleague games, then they go another month or two. So, you know, the pitchers aren't on a regular routine preparing for that. But in Matt's case, the pitcher was coming up, and there's one out. So you're going to challenge him because you don't expect the pitcher to get a two-out hit. Yeah. And in that scenario, you're going to send the guy. I guarantee if there was no out and a third-place hitter was coming up, Matty probably wouldn't have sent him because of how shallow he was. But it worked. You know, the throw was offline, and they scored the run. So good decision.
Yeah, good baseball. It was baseball. I like things to happen. During a game, you know, we're into this strikeout, walk, home run thing. I like when things happen during the game.
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, a well-played game, even a close game. You know, it was a close game last night. Key hits, key plays makes the difference. That's exciting to me as well, and we've always won like that, not by pounding the ball, you know, 11-8 where there's mistakes made. I mean, a nice, clean, crisp National League baseball game is what I like. I hope they don't change the rules too much and make us an American League league.
Well, what about interleague, though? You know, the A's come in here and no DH. You're going to go next weekend to the A's. You're going to have a DH. It is a different game. Is there any way to resolve this thing for interleague? Look, this interleague's a big deal for you this year. You guys, I think, are 4-5. You got 11 more games to go. American League West is very strong. Interleague has a bearing on what's going to happen. You got to get ready to play there.
Well, no question. It's easier to go using your pitcher to going to a DH. So it's much easier for us to deal with it than it is the American League teams. Because you think about the American League, there's not a lot of sacrifice bunting that goes on. It's just not the pitcher hitting, but men on first and second, the execution of the bunt, now all the bunt plays. Yeah. You know, the American League typically doesn't run a lot of wheel plays and a lot of bunt plays to stop the guy from getting to third base. You know, the majority of the teams, they just get the out and they deal with the runners at second and third. So it's a different game and you have to prepare for that, but you don't play it all the time. So it's easier for us. You know, we're deeper. We have some more bats in our lineup now, and that'll help us to get an extra bat in the lineup when we do go over to Oakland.
So you ought to bunt more on the American League team over here.
Well, you know, I haven't been in the league, obviously, and, you know, for all the years of teams that win, they really pound the baseball. Yeah. I think the Angels was one team that, right, yeah, played a little bit of a National League style, going first to third and stealing bases and bunting a little bit. But, yeah, I've had my head buried in the National League for a long time. So, right. Yeah, they know what they're doing over there.
All right. Interesting. Well, we got another DH less game today. It'll be more of a National League game today, obviously. Steven Duggar, and I bring him up because, boy, what a week he has had, not only defensively but offensively. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, no, off to a good start. As you said, he's had a good week, and it's nice to see, because when you come up and you struggle, you know, you start pressing, you put yeah. more pressure on yourself, and he's done a nice job, certainly in the outfield, getting to the ball. But he's like last night. I mean, he was the guy last night. He was involved in all the offense, and when he gets on base, he has speed, able to score on that ball to left field. So off to a good start, and it's given us a jolt. It's been a nice move for us to get him up here, and now with Gorky can play some left field. We got a little different feel yeah. to our club. We have a lot more speed. We have Chase Darnot at third base. You know, I feel like we can do a few different things now that maybe we couldn't do earlier in the year.
Well, what I like about Duggar is when he gets out of the box, when it's in the gap, and it doesn't have to be in the gap a lot, he's going. And it's and again, we talk baseball here with the professor. It's the batter thinking too as soon as the ball is hit. It's a huge difference.
No question, and that's the way you want to run the bases. Everybody should run the bases like that. You're always pushing to get to the next base. A single, you think double. A double, you think triple. And it doesn't always play out like that, but he's certainly trying to push the envelope. And we need that from our center fielder. We need that from our speed players.
Yeah, as soon as he's out of the box. I mean, he is thinking too right out of the box. And remember his first one, I think you had to lasso him at second. He was coming. When the guy kicked the ball a little bit in right center field, remember, against the Cardinals
right.
last weekend?
Right, right. No, you like that. Again, I mean, always pushing the envelope, trying to get to the next base. That's what you're supposed to do on the bases, right, Marty?
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying, you want to get to the next base. You just don't check in on a double. You're looking for the ball in the dirt. You want to advance because, as we all know, these little things are not little. And when you play a close game, they got one of their runs yesterday and a ball in the dirt. I can't remember who it was, if it was Chapman advanced to third, and boom, sack fly, and here you go. That's a run. So you try to take advantage of those things.
You're on Twitter. How's it going? R. Wotus on Twitter. How's it going? This is huge for you.
Yeah, it's going okay. I've gotten a lot of good advice, and I've gotten to read some of my friends. Flan's been very good to me. You know, we talk all the time, but I always enjoy seeing his tweets and his comments. And the ladies right here,
Carmen.
I got my eye on Carmen and
Carmen,
Allie.
What do you think?
I think he's doing a great job. I think you can do more because you're so fun, and I wish the whole Twitter world could see that. But, you know, you got to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. That's exactly right. It's a slow process for me.
What advice you got for Woe here?
Oh, you know, just keep keep going. Keep try not to read the mentions too much, but on a good day, always read the mentions.
Okay.
Don't feed the trolls. That's like the number one rule of the internet.
So now, do you check it every day now to see what people are doing? Are you addicted yet?
No, no, but I could see where it's very addicting.
Oh, completely.
Right? I'm too busy to be addicted. I got other things I'm addicted to, like the game out there, for instance. So it hasn't consumed me, but I can see where Twitter could really get a hold of you. And, you know, really keep you focused on your phone more than we already are. Can you believe that? How can it be on the phone more than we already are?
No, just tweet out something. Say, wow, did you think I should have sent him? And stand back. Stand back and get ready for about 5,000 people telling you what to do.
Right, right.
Including Alex Pavlovich, who will tell you as well. Hey, today is National Ice Cream Day. I got a nice email from Fenton's over in Oakland on Piedmont Avenue, and their black and tan sundaes are half off today if certain things, conditions are met. And I was thinking about ice cream because it is summertime. I love summer, and the All-Star break is coming. You've got 4 days off. We're going to ask you what you're going to be doing for the break. But what about ice cream? You guys into ice cream, National Ice Cream Day? Allie, you got a favorite ice cream?
I'm very into ice cream. My favorite's either the mint chocolate chip or any of the floral ones. At Byright, they have honey lavender. Yeah, that one is the best.
Well, honey lavender, not for us.
Not for me. Honey lavender, any ice cream with fruit in it, it's out.
I'm in a rare breed. I don't think many people like the florals, but I'm all for it.
Good for you.
All right, good. Carmen, where are you on this?
I love ice cream. Olive oil ice cream, really good.
Wow.
It's salt and straw. I know, I'm fancy. I like black sesame. That's another one of my favorite ones. And then sometimes I just like strawberry, like a really where it tastes like strawberry, not like when it's like that fake flavor. So, I don't know. I'll eat pretty much anything.
Where in the heck can you get olive oil ice cream?
Salt and straw. It's literally the best ice cream in the city. And I think they have
Byright's
like two.
Byright's good, too.
Byright's pretty good. There's two locations. You got to try it. Well, it's so good.
Well, I've never been there. Lori, my wife, she loves ice cream. I like ice cream. I mean, who doesn't, right? But I have to go with a coffee chocolate chip, something like that, or, you know, some of these other, you know, chocolatey sweet, not the olive oil or the green tea ice cream that I know you probably have that as well.
At Salt and Straw, you can get an ice cream flight. So you get four little scoops and you can just make a date out of it. And you really go to town.
New world.
You just go around the city. You go to those places, go to Swenson's and Mitchell's. Just have a day of ice cream.
Today's the day.
We'll be your designated driver.
Well, for me, it's cookie dough.
Okay.
I like the cookie. Yeah, that or Rocky Road. I'll go that way. You know,
you think back to ice cream, your love of ice cream, and you know where it comes from, Marty. And I'm sure they had it out here, but the East Coast was a good humor guy.
Oh, really?
The bell starts ringing in the neighborhood. You're out playing ball in the driveway. You're playing wiffle ball. And that you hear that sound of the bells, and you ran into the house, and you got some money, and you chased them down. You got the Italian ice or the fudgesicle.
Fudgesicle was big.
Yeah.
The good humor guy would come around, and he would wear a white outfit with a hat, and he'd open up the back of the thing, and it's early in the morning for me.
Yeah.
He would open up the back of the truck, and that little door would open up, and the smoke would come out from the dried ice.
Right.
And then you'd give the guy your 25 cents, and, you know, you get a butterscotch sundae or something like that. We had Bungalow Bar, too, in Brooklyn.
I'm not familiar with Bungalow Bar.
Yeah, Bungalow Bar competed with Good Humor. And what it was a truck. It was great. We loved this as kids. In the summer, are you kidding me? When the Good Humor guy came around,
absolutely.
The kids came out of the woodwork.
Yep.
You didn't know where they came from. You chased the thing down the street.
Right.
So Bungalow Bar was the competitor, and it was a little truck like the Good Humor guy, except it was in a shape of a bungalow.
Really?
And it had like a pitched roof, you know, that kind of thing. And that was the Bungalow Bar guy.
Well, he didn't make it into Connecticut. He couldn't cross the border, I guess. I've never heard or seen him.
Yeah, but that's part of the summer. I like it. It's very good. Hansen is getting back to speed, and I love talking about food. You know that. We haven't talked the fruit report yet either. But Hansen is exciting, Will. And again, with Duggar and Hansen, you never know where a season's going to go. We saw them both in spring training. And Hanson was a raw kind of player. Yep. We didn't understand him at all. But he did something in the Cubs series where he scored from first on that pickoff throw.
Right.
And, boy, you two guys were in real communication on that play. Go through that one.
Well, you know, speed is his best tool, and he needs to utilize it. And he has. He's done a great job on the bases, and a pickoff throw there. He threw it away. He was on first base, and here he comes. And the thing that we try to tell our guys in spring training is to round the base and come to me as a third base coach wherever I'm standing. If I'm standing close to third base, make a turn and stop closer to me. If I'm halfway down the line, make a big turn and pick up the ball. And the key is pick up the ball. So on that play, I kept waving him. I wanted to bring him all the way around to make a late decision. And you point to the ball for him to pick it up. And he did. And at that moment, he saw that he had the chance to score. He had the momentum, and he kept going.
Yeah.
And on that play, with his speed, I think he surprised Baez out there, who was taking his time.
Yeah.
Was he baiting him to go? I'm not quite sure. But he took his time as if there's no way this guy is going to score.
Yeah.
And it was great hustle on his part, and nice to see him make that big, hard turn, because we want that on every play.
Yeah.
You know, because if you make a hard turn, the throw comes into the relay man at first or the second baseman, and it kicks away or it's offline. If they make the turn and come down the line and pick up the ball, now they have a chance to score. But if they stop at the base and don't pick up the ball kicks away, and now you have people booing.
Yeah.
So it's an important part of the job.
I love the play. As I say, fans, if you go back and watch this one on YouTube, it's really pretty good. But you are looking at him, and you're pointing at the ball, telling
right.
him to look at the ball, which I thought was terrific. And he's doing it.
Yeah.
And as he got to third, he looked for the ball to see where it was, but he didn't break stride.
No. No.
And I thought it was really, really a phenomenal play. Have you had that play before where a guy scores from first? That was like a Willie Mays kind of play.
Well, I can't remember, not in the big leagues. I can't remember many plays from 1998, to be honest with you. I do remember the first game, though. It's J.T. Snow scored on a base hit. Billy Wagner was the pitcher. It was opening day in 98.
Okay.
And I can't remember who got the hit, but J.T. was at second, and there was two outs. And a base hit to center field, and I don't remember the center fielder he scored to win the game. And I was a little bit surprised, because after the game, all the press, the great Hank Schulman, who's still here, and they all came to me. How'd you send J.T. Snow on that play? Well, there's two outs, right? We're going to send them. So they gave me a little love, and they were surprised by that. But, again, I had no choice. I mean, are you going to wait for three hits off of Billy Wagner, or are you going to make somebody throw the runner out with two outs?
You know, you bring up a very good point, and we've talked about it on the show about the shifts. Daniel Murphy was interviewed, and I'm going to give you this article when we're done today. I want you to read it. But talking about why he doesn't like to bunt or go the other way in the shift, because he says, if I get a single, then you need two more hits after me to score. And it's better for me to try to get a double and hit over the shift than to go the other way or lay down a bunt. And it's not that easy to hit a 95-mile-an-hour cutter coming in on me to shortstop. So basically, left-handed hitters are discriminated against with a shift. Right-handed hitters, you can't put the shortstop in left field because
right.
you can't throw anybody out unless it's me running. Or, you know,
or pull holes, they do.
Right. Or Ernie Lombardi, you know,
right.
the great catcher from the 40s who they used to play in short left field. He led the league in hitting, though, believe it or not,
right.
Ernie Lombardi. So I thought Murphy had some interesting insight, because every time we see someone get up, belt comes up and lay down a bunt, go the other way. But it's not the percentage play, because you want to be hitting a ball over the shift. If you hit a ground ball into the shift, you're out 90% of the time.
Yeah. Well, the rule of thumb, you know, coming up in baseball and philosophy, and things are a little bit skewed today and what's right and what's wrong, you know, when you steal, when you don't, because there's not a whole lot of it going on. But, you know, if there's two outs and you have power,
yeah.
you know, you don't want to bunt with two outs. You want to hit a double. You want to score on two hits. You know, that's what you want to do. But on the other side, if there's nobody out and you're down by a couple runs and you need base runners, you should bunt. Now, to his point, that it's not easy to do, he's absolutely correct. When a righty's throwing a cutter in, you can't hit that ball to left field, and it's tough to bunt it to left field because it's boring in on you. And these guys that bunt, there's certain pitchers that are easier to bunt for a Murphy or a Belt, you know, when they're pitching. To bunt at the third, you know, sinker ballers that sink the ball in, extremely difficult to bunt the third. So even if it's a scenario where you have one of these power guys and say you're down by a couple runs or there's nobody out and you want to get something going, those are great times to bunt. But the pitcher sometimes dictates whether I can accomplish that or not. And certainly to Murphy's point, two outs, you know, he's getting paid to drive in runs in the middle of the game. He wants to hit a double. And so, you know, he's exactly right. But there are different scenarios in the game, and a scoreboard dictates what to do.
Yeah, and also he said, listen, I don't want to hit a ground ball. Because I'm a left-handed hitter. So left-handed hitters, when you think about it, on all these defensive runs saved and all the stuff that we go through, it's really based on left-handed hitters. Though they're discriminated against, in a sense, because the shift is there for them. You can't do it for a right-handed hitter. Do you shift for right-handed hitters?
Yeah, we do. We do. If it's a dead pull hitter, we do. We shift them, but certainly... Left-handers usually seem to be more involved with it. Yeah,
right.
all the time. Yeah. Well, there's more right-handed pitchers, you know, cutting balls into the lefties, and there's more left-handed hitters in that scenario. I think less left-handed pitchers doing that to righties where they're just throwing the ball in on them. So it does happen a lot more to left. And he's got a good point, but at the same time, that's the type of player and hitter he is. You know, he's paid to hit home runs. I think it was... You know, a couple of years ago, he changed his swing. When he was in New York, he was more of a line drive hitter. And then he went to the point where he wants to lift and separate the launch angle thing we're talking about and hit the ball out of the park. And he's really turned himself into an RBI power hitter opposed to being a good line drive hitter, which he was in New York. So he's transformed himself, and that's who he is now.
Yeah, he became a big star. Let me just read you his little paragraph here. It says... If I'm not mistaken, the level of production goes strikeout, pop-up, ground ball, fly ball, line drive. The production comes mostly from fly balls and line drives, so that's what we want. I'm trying to hit a line drive first, and if I miss, I hit a fly ball. Ground balls, pop-ups, and strikeouts aren't going to give you anything. It's not necessarily rocket science. So he says 7% of the balls on the ground are caught, or not caught.
In a shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are caught. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are not caught. So 93% are caught. How about that?
You know, for him, it makes sense. But you need all types of hitters in your lineups. You need guys that hit those ground balls and line drives. You know, it's for him. He makes some good points and in his ballpark and all that. But not every hitter would fall into that category, in my opinion.
And I agree. It depends on the score of the game and everything what you want. But I thought it was interesting. This is the major league hitters saying, we can't do that. You know, we have to try to hit over the shift. So I thought it was interesting to hear that from him.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
That's good to know too, is Marty. When we play him, you have to worry about the bunt.
Yeah, really. All right, we got a couple of texts in here. Good humor man stopped at our house every day in Rye. How about that? Greg Wolf, you know, does all the traveling, moves everything for the Giants. Classic Spumoni is the best ice cream. Extra rum.
Extra rum.
Extra
all right.
rum.
We didn't have that when we were 8 and 9. I wasn't allowed to have that.
Our good friend Michael Gaines, toasted almond. The good humor truck looked like an armored car.
Toasted almond, one of my favorites as well.
I love ice cream. You know, the judges used to kid everyone that they would commit a burglary on the house next door at 2 a.m. if they wanted to get ice cream, something like that. That's baseball.
Yeah.
That's baseball in the summer. One last thing before we take our break. I want to talk to you about the All-Star game and what people are talking about. Come on, Allie. This is ice cream.
Doing great, Marty. I agree with everything.
A cup of coffee.
All right. Very good. You were in a story this week about the iPads in the dugout and all that and the information. I thought maybe you could expand on that a little bit. There's a lot going on in the dugout that we don't see.
Yeah, it was an article about the use of the iPads in the dugout, which we started using 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago now, where you can have your scouting reports. And in a lot of ways, it's just basically instead of having everything in paper and books and binders, you can get to it and access it easier. And Major League Baseball actually okayed the video on there. Now, these iPads, so we can get video of the opposing pitcher. So when a reliever comes in, the hitting coaches will have, you know, that pitcher throwing to a righty and a lefty. So instead of just going to the paper or the iPad scouting report to see his pitches and what the advanced scout's saying about him, you can actually watch him throw right there in the moment. And, you know, the video's a big help because it's a bigger help than just the, you know, telling you his pitches. You get to see the movement on the ball. You get to see what he's doing. So it was an article about that, the use of the iPads and how the game's evolving. And it was interesting.
Pretty good. Yeah. Do you use it, the iPad?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do with it?
Yeah. Well, you have all your spray charts on there. You have all the game reports. Scouting reports on the players. I use more of the spray charts. I use video the same way. Let's say their closer's coming in, and our closer's coming in, and the Smitty's coming in. Instead of looking, you know, most relievers only have a few at bats with certain hitters. Right. So are you going to look at a spray chart and he's got 4 balls hit? Are you going to put anything into that? Yeah. No. So a lot of times I will take Smith and I'll look at him against the hitter coming up in between innings. You know, we make the call, boom. I'll look at that and see what his approach is and see what he's trying to do to gain an advantage. So when the players look in, I'll have a better idea what he might try to do in that situation opposed to just going off a plot. Or not helping at all.
Well, that's good. Isn't that helpful?
It's very helpful. It's very helpful. And you can't do it for everybody, but I've always tried to watch the, you know, the eighth, the setup guy and the closer. You know, those are key guys when they come into the game and how they're going to pitch them, right? Because, you know, Tony Watson could be out there. He could be sinking the ball in or throwing soft away. The hitter's going to do something different. So it's a way to try to get an edge, and Major League Baseball allows it. What they don't allow is any streaming or any real-time video. That iPad can't be connected to the internet. Okay. You can't get the broadcast. It's just all information, and they load it before the game. It's on lock and key. They you know, our guys load the information, and that's how it's done.
Well, I was thinking as you're talking about that, how you set the defense behind Ray Black. Is it the old Satchel Paige? He tells the guys to sit down. Don't worry, I'll take care of this. Satchel Paige used to say it. Or Eddie Fainter, the king in his court, used to tell him. Remember the king in his court?
Yeah,
the softball guy?
Yeah.
You know, Satchel used to say, don't worry, I'll take care of this. You guys can sit down.
Well,
Ray Black is something else.
Yeah, he took care of it last night.
How about, come on, Chapman and Davis? I mean, those are serious hitters.
Yeah, no, he did a fantastic job. He has that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, on both sides. You know, they had two guys at the end of the game. I like to call him Lee Trevino, Lou Trevino, and their closer. I mean,
they
throw hard as well, and it makes it very difficult on the hitter. But what impressed me with Black last night is we know he can throw 100, but the use of his breaking ball and the location of his breaking ball. When you're throwing that hard and you can get that breaking ball over for a strike, the hitter doesn't have much of a chance. So fantastic job he did last night.
How he's going to help. I really do.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I think he's legit.
Well, it's a weapon, you know. I mean, he can come in, he can get a strikeout. If he can command the baseball like that, he's going to help an awful lot. There's no doubt about it.
And the first pitch he threw to Chris Davis was a breaking ball.
Yeah.
And you know, Davis, you know, this guy is just ready to launch one.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it was a great breaking ball. It was right over the plate.
Right. Well, that's the key to pitching. I mean, we all know if you throw 95 and you're just throwing fastballs, these major league hitters, they can hit the fastball for the most part. You know, you got to have movement and you got to be able to throw something else over the plate to keep them off that fastball.
Boy, great. I love talking about this stuff. Good morning here. I've covered a lot of ice cream. We covered a lot of that.
And, come on, ice cream on ice cream. What is it, National Ice Cream Day?
Yes. It's
fantastic.
Fenton's over in Oakland. Check it out. But it's a lot of fun to talk about someone like Black because he's a guy who was going to quit. Yeah. You know, he was hurt. He's had a, you know, and he's got a rather fresh arm because it hasn't been used because he had so many surgeries and everything. But he was going to go back to his farm. They have a 1,000-acre farm in Pennsylvania and work with vegetables. That's up my alley. Come on.
Yeah. He made a good decision not to do that.
Yeah.
He's lived a little bit, huh? He's had all these surgeries. He's persevered, and you always pull for people that have been through that fight to get here and with his stuff. And his last couple outings have been outstanding. And, you know, it's impressive to see.
I love it. I love it. And he comes in the place. There's electricity. I'm telling you, there's something about these young players. Well, Duggar, Hanson, Black, Suarez, Rodriguez, Slater coming off the bench, getting a pinch in. You've got five or six on a 25-man roster that are actually impacting the game.
Well, no question, and you need that to win.
Yeah, you do.
You did, and a lot of these guys, you know, they were high in the organization's mind, and they certainly had their eyes on them. And good job by Bobby and Saves and everybody to pull them up when they did, and have these weapons for us. So it's, you know, with all the injuries we've had, if we haven't had these young guys to carry the load and do the job they're doing, we certainly wouldn't be where we're at right in the thick of it.
No, absolutely. I think that's the theme of this first. We're getting close to the 100th game. Without them, it's not this kind of season. There's no doubt in my mind. All right, we'll take a break. The professor is here. It is Sunday morning. We'll talk about A's and Giants, different than Dodgers Giants. It's a different feel in the ballpark, and the professor will explain a little bit of that. And I'll talk to him about the All-Star game, which is coming up. They're all talking about changes of the game, and do you get everybody in or not? And let's go through that a little bit, because that's a couple of days away. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader. All right, back here with the professor, Ron Wotus. Talking a little bit more about the game and what goes on within the game and everything else. It is just fantastic to see A's Giants. I like it. It's a different atmosphere out here.
It is. It is. It's great for the Bay Area. The A's love their A's, and the Giant fans love their Giants. And I see a lot of people in the crowd that are confused, right? The wife's got the A's stuff on. The husband's got the Giants stuff on. They got the hats that have both A's and Giants. So you see it all, and I think it is great theater for the Bay Area. It was electric last night.
Yeah.
Great crowd. Loud. Had a different feel. We had some Oakland drums here in our ballpark. How do they get those things in here?
Carmen, how does that happen?
I mean, you can pretty much bring whatever you want, signs, whatever you want into the stands. So the only thing you can't bring in is, like, canned soda or something.
That's it.
So you can bring in a musical instrument?
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen any other fan base do it other than the A's and then when the WBC was here. But, you know.
Right.
It can happen.
Well, the A's used to have a band that used to go around, like a Dixieland band. They had that, I remember, in the 70s. Then in Brooklyn, when I grew up, we had something called a symphony. And it was just three or four guys with, you know, tubas and things like that used to walk around Ebbets Field. But they got the guy in Cleveland. You ever hear that guy with the drum in Cleveland?
Well, yeah, that's right. That's part of the ballpark, right? It's what he does for their presentation. There, but yeah, it's a different feel to hear the drums here in this ballpark.
Yeah, different last night.
Yeah.
Brandon Belt this week, very exciting for Brandon Belt. He was in the runoff. He lost to Aguilar, as he says. The Russians interfered with the election.
Yeah,
you know, right. He's very funny, Belt. Isn't Belt a funny guy?
He's got a good sense of humor. He's always he loves satire. He loves to, you know, make those off comments. He's always looking for them. That's how he sees the world. He's pretty funny.
I think he said that to the umpire last night.
He may have. Yeah, he may have. And Gibby over there doesn't have that sense of humor.
Not at all. But what did you think of the teammates? With the wrestling stuff, with Holland with the baby oil, and Pence with the belt, and McCutchen dancing and all that. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I didn't see Kutch dancing, but what great support for their teammate, and in this age with Twitter and YouTube and everything. I thought it's great. These guys pull for one another. And, you know, I saw Pence and Dutch, like they called Derek Holland Dutch. Tremendous. Good stuff. And that got the fan base riled up. I'm sure he got a lot of votes because of that. And it's great to see. It's great to see their teammates supporting each other like that.
Did they ask you to get involved in any of this?
No, they didn't ask. I mean, I threw my two cents in there because I am on Twitter. And I thought that was a worthy of a tweet to try to help him get in. You know, it's a big deal. He's had a very good year. And come on, he's in the vote and try to support him.
Yeah. All right. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'm thinking about Belt for a second. He went first to third last night, and I don't know what happened, but boy, he was not. The feet were not moving that quickly. I'll tell you. Luckily, the ball hit him. I want to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He would have been out if the ball didn't hit him, and that's why you're running for those base runners. You want to get in line of the throw if that's going to happen, right? I mean, there's a lot of times in the game. You get picked off at first base. Say it's a lefty and you're stealing second. You get picked off. You don't want to stretch straight to the back. You want to try to run in the line of where the shortstop is to get in the line of the throw so you get hit in the back and you're safe. And you can, you know, you see it coming on the bases a lot. And thank goodness he was in the line there of the throw.
He went around second. I said, boy, it's like he's carrying a piano. I mean, you know, the ball's in right field. He's out by a mile.
Right.
And
right.
Luckily it hit him in the back.
Yeah, well, the right
foot,
fielder,
I don't know where it hit him.
He's the opposite of the guy in left. He throws very well, and he's very accurate. Yeah. You know, we talk about arm strength, but there's guys that are accurate, and there's guys that aren't so accurate. And you got to be careful with him out there on right.
All right, All-Star game is coming up. Keith Olbermann said they should have four teams, each three innings each. And then the teams that win match up the last three innings or that kind of thing. You've been through so many All-Star games in the minor leagues and in the major leagues. So many guys come to the game. A lot of people say, well, we want a pitcher to pitch three innings. We want the starters to play seven innings. Is it realistic? These guys come to the game, and what goes on?
Well, you know, I think there's two different, you know, groups of people you think about. You think about the All-Stars themselves, and, of course, they are an entertainment. Is it for the players or is it for the fans? And obviously it's a combination of the two. And I do believe that being an All-Star, being a player or an ex-player, that if you get elected to the All-Star game, you want to get in the game. I mean, there's nothing worse than going to an All-Star game and your family and everybody comes out and here you are an All-Star. And you're one of two guys that doesn't play in the game, you know. So I think it is an exhibition in that regard. And I think, you know, all the fans to that regard want to see their player in the game and what he does. So, you know, they've taken away the World Series home thing with this. And I think it's made it, you know, probably not as you know, they don't fight as hard to win the game. It has taken away some of the competitiveness. So how to get that back is the big question. And, you know, I don't know if the fans have been polled on this. You know, the fans want to see all the players in the game because I don't realistically see a starting pitcher going three innings, you know.
Right.
I don't, because they got to think about the regular season, and that's not going to be fair to the other pitcher. So you're gonna put this one guy in jeopardy, throwing him that much, you know. Now, if it's like you could take the guy in your division, maybe it's an A's All-Star, and I'm doing the All-Star game, I want to have their starting pitcher throw through innings so he can't throw against us. So you got to be careful with those types of things.
All right. Well, we'll see. Plus, people want to watch the Home Run Derby. Anyway,
yes.
Game is secondary.
Yeah, it really is. Huh? The Home Run Derby is a great event. People love it. But
did you watch it when you were there?
I watched a little bit. You know, one year I had my great nephew with me, and we watched it on the field. And I absolutely loved that, to see him watch it. And we were in Cincinnati for this All-Star game, and, you know, actually I had the chance to talk to Todd Frazier between rounds. And, you know, my nephew did as well, Landon, and, you know, he got a big kick out of that. And so we left the ballpark because the Home Run Derby goes on and on and on, right? It lasts a long time. And we went back to the hotel, and in the town square, there. They had a big screen in Cincinnati, and we sat and we watched the end of it there, and Frazier won it. And it was a nice moment to see the you know, hometown or the local kid win the home run derby on the big screen. So I watched that whole one, but I don't sit through the whole home run derby, no.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Carmen, Allie, questions for Will? Carmen? We've hit them all this morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, we talked a little bit about the check swing earlier, right?
Okay.
So I feel like I got all my questions out of the way.
All right, very Allie, good. Anything
yeah,
for Will?
I was going to ask you about the young guys coming up, but you mentioned that earlier with all the Slater and Rodriguez and everyone. It's just been fun to watch all
you're,
the young guys.
Yeah. You're getting too good at this. You're answering our questions before you even ask them.
Well, he's the professor. Isn't it funny how many people call you the professor?
Yeah, Marty, there's no doubt about it. Everybody but my sister. She does not call me the professor. But, the ushers here have been great. I get a kick out of them. It's been nice to get a chance to talk to some of them. And they always say, good night, Professor, as I leave the building.
Well, one last thing. Someone tweeted in more about the Good Humor Man, that they used to have that little change thing on the belt.
Yes.
With the coins would come out. You had that to deal with, too.
Why'd they get rid of that? Think about it. That's a great piece of equipment. Everybody had the change thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think the guys at Johnny Rockets still have them. You know, Johnny Rockets, that old-fashioned burger place.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
There
right.
you go.
So, yeah.
Well, now you don't have to. You do it on your phone, right? There's an app. You
who
pay
knows?
People with
your,
with an app.
Yeah,
you don't have to exchange
Venmo?
Money. What's it called?
Venmo.
Venmo. So there you go.
What's it called? Very good, Will. Very good.
I'm on top of these things.
I see. I see. Very good. Well, you're a new man on Twitter, R. Wotus. I will have, great to have you with us today. What are you doing for the break, by the way? Anything cooking?
We're going to go up north.
We go to Tahoe
area, Donner Lake area. Yeah. We like going up there, and we'll go up there for a bit. Yeah.
What do you think of these six games with the A's back to back?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's a great idea, honestly. Six in a row. I know we have the 4-day break. I think it's too many. You know, I'll leave you with this. When I played for Hawaii, the Islanders. We play 8 games at home against the team, right? And when we went on the road, we go to each ballpark. So if we went to Phoenix, we played 8 games. If we went to Salt Lake, we played 8 games, wherever we were going. And one year, we played the Phoenix Giants, 8 in Hawaii. We turned around and got on the same red-eye flight, flew to Phoenix, and played them 8 more. So we had 16 straight games with the Giants, and we were the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, needless to say, they had our number that year, and there were 3 good fights in those 16 games. So I think it's a bit much.
Yeah, it gets to you after a while.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great to have you with us. Have a good day today, and we'll watch you at third base. And I think the first 2 games have been excellent, really excellent games. So I expect another one today with Manaea and Andy Suarez.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
All right.
Well,
thanks, Marty. You guys
break. Enjoy
your break.
All right. That is the Professor Ron Wotus on a Sunday morning. More coming up in the Sports Leader.
Also, this is Patch Dancing.